In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Everything the Christian people do to mark the stages of their life, my brothers and sisters, they do with prayer. We gather together to pray, and within prayer, we baptize people, we confirm. It's within prayer that we join men and women as husband and wife. And in the course of prayer, we gather together to participate in what is the source and summit of the Christian life, the Holy Communion, which is by far the highest thing the Christian people do on Sunday, which is good for us pastors, because if we become bumbling and confused and mess up the apostolic preaching, guess what? We still have the sacrament that God in His mercy does not let the clergy pollute. This is really what's so hard for the Christian people during this time of not meeting. Worship really can't be done at a distance or on social media or virtually or whatever. It really requires, at least biblically, two or three gathered, actually locally, gathered together. As the apostle indicates when he says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place," he says. And he's giving instruction for the divine service. TV or internet, quote, worship, only seems to turn the worship of the Holy Trinity into a spectator sport, which is not what biblical worship is. So the life in Christ is one of gathering together. And even so in death. Because when it comes time for Christians to depart this life, what do? We gather together. We gather with family and friends around our loved one to envelop them in prayer and commend them to the Holy Trinity, which is what we'll be doing on Tuesday to our brother Bill Hawley. And this prayer and holy community, the sacrament, the Word of God preached and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthens and it enlivens us. These are the things that God has established for us to keep our eyes fixed on the narrow gate, upon the door that leads to heaven. And what I want to do this morning is look at this narrow gate and ask the question, what is that gate? And I've heard several different answers, and that's the reason I want to focus on it this morning, because I have heard several different answers to that question that are flat wrong. You probably have too. Most of those wrong answers having to do with, you know, just behaving a certain way or not doing this or doing that in order just to be barely good enough to make it through that door. But I warn you, that is the clear teaching of demons who would have you to rely upon yourself rather than Jesus and what He's accomplished for you. The door to heaven is narrow not because it depends on you adhering to a very strict set of guidelines or morals or laws or submitting to anything that you have to obey. The gate of Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God is narrow precisely because it's exactly in the shape of Jesus Christ Himself, His crucified body flayed on the holy cross. Don't forget that. And so entering through Him, through faith in Him, through trust in the One who bled and died for us, where is it that the Christian people come to on Sunday mornings? And I know you're saying right now, well, I don't come anywhere, Pastor. I'm quarantined at home. This is a time of social distancing. Receiving the sacrament week in and week out, it does something to a person. It creates a sacramental piety and devotion to the Lord that does not and it cannot be formed in any other way. That's why many of you that I've spoken with miss worship so very much, Because when Jesus Christ is present on his altar in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, where is it that we're coming to on Sunday morning? Well, maybe you're saying I come to Stanley or to 203 South Main Street or whatever. But let me show you where the sacred scripture says we really come to. And this part of Hebrews, I think, is probably my favorite verses in all of sacred scripture. Open up your Bibles to chapter 12 of Hebrews. This is a sermon that's presumably being preached by Paul the Apostle. So he's speaking to a congregation. And I hope you never view what happens on Sunday morning the same way again. Because look at verse 22. St. Paul is preaching and he gazes out over the congregation gathered and he says this to them. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly and church of the firstborn who are inscribed in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That's what he says. And that's where the scripture says we come to on Sunday mornings. Or any other time the sacrament of the altar is celebrated. We come to Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, in the presence of God and the holy angels and saints, the righteous men made perfect. That's what's going on. You've come to the city and kingdom of the risen living God, cutting right through the darkness of this present age. The kingdom of our God emerging right there in our midst. You yourself are joined together with an innumerable company of angels, with the assembly and church of the firstborn. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Right? Those saints who have already died in the faith are right there with you. That does not happen any other place than right there on Sunday morning. They are right there with us in arguably even a closer way than they were before because they are with Jesus Christ. And he is there with us in his mercy. This is what happens in biblical Christian worship. And it's the reason that you're missing it so much. It's the reason why I'm missing it so much. And it's the closest that we'll ever get in this life to joining our forefathers who've gone before us. Because I want you to notice something about the Hebrews text that I just read. The preacher doesn't dare say, you will come, or if you keep on trying, you might come. He very plainly says, you have come. You have come. Hear the gospel of just that one precious little word of God. You have come to the city of the living God. Right now, he says, you are in the midst of it. In Jesus, we're already standing among the innumerable company of angels. It's not something that we have to look forward to. It is already a fact written in stone, carved in the flesh of the rock of our salvation. Because of his blood, we take our place right here and now in the congregation of the New Jerusalem, the one holy church made up of the angels that did not rebel, together with the spirits of the just, the righteous men made perfect. We're already in their presence, standing before the same throne at which the saints now worship. The one holy Christian church of Jesus Christ does not simply offer a worship service that is altogether distinct from the eternal worship already in progress in heaven right now. You see, no matter how early you get to church on Sunday morning, or even if you're quarantined at home, the service is already going on. It's already happening. All we're doing is jumping in to that service that's already going on. And all of this happens because we come together with the mediator of the new covenant, whose blood cries out to the Father louder than and speaks a better word about us than the accusatory and damning blood of Abel. We dare offer no prayer, no praise, no worship except in the blood of Jesus, which is our only access to God. He is our good shepherd and narrow door access to God. All Christian prayer must be saturated in the blood of Jesus. But Hebrews only says that Jesus is with us. It doesn't tell us what Jesus looks like. What does Jesus look like as he's among us? For this, we'll turn to the Holy Scriptures. This is another one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It comes in Revelation, where the Apostle John, who's been exiled to Patmos, gathers with whoever else is with him, and as is their custom, they turn to face the east, the place of the rising sun. We say that our altars face liturgical east. And they pray the Sunday morning liturgy, the prayers, the preaching of the word, and the Holy Communion, the breaking of the bread, as Acts 2 calls it. They gather together to do what the Christian people do. And John describes what they saw. When they're standing on the Isle of Patmos and they face the east, the first thing they know they were facing were their brothers and sisters in the churches of Asia Minor. And John sees a vision of these seven churches in the form of a seven-branch candlestick. And Jesus is in the midst of the churches. Right? The scripture says he's in the midst of them, and at the same time, Revelation says he's holding them in the palm of his hand. Jesus is both shepherd and sheep. He is there in the midst of them, and he is their protector, holding them in the palm of his hand. We are always under his pastoral protection, so then that in all things, he is our Savior, our guardian, who is also always right there with us. To say that Jesus is the shepherd who gathers us together, protects us, who beats down the wolves and feeds us, and holds us in his own hand even, is to know that no matter what, the wolves will never take us down. Jesus will never abandon us. He is always before us, behind us, to our right and to our left. In biblical times and well after, one of the things a shepherd would do for his flock was to gather them into a pen at night. And then when they're all gathered in, what the shepherd would do is actually lay down in the opening of the pen at night. That's where he would rest. Every night the sheep would be herded into their enclosed pen, and the shepherd would lay his own body across the entrance, making himself the gate, the door of the sheep. So that if the wolves wanted to get to the sheep, they were going to have to cross over him. And hear that. Hear that, because what that means is that when Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep," he literally lays down his life for you. He lays down across the door the threshold of death, that through his own death and resurrection, through him, his sheep can go in and out and find safety and finally be able to rest in peace. Only through the narrow door of Jesus' death, the narrow door of Jesus' cross, is there life. Life enough for an eternity. So that if anyone tries to come after you, to sneak into the pen of Christ's holy church and steal you away, our crucified and risen shepherd stands up before all your enemies and says, "You can have them over my dead and risen body." So it is with every saint who belongs to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.